Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Curveball grounded left side. Diving stab. Devers and throws from his knees in too late and a run scores.
Oh, that workman. He'll make you smoke cigarettes, man. Won't he?
Don't talk to me about that.
Dale Arnold.
My tweet was not because I regretted tweeting it. It was because I didn't want to bring any attention to him. I don't regret the way that I responded. You know, I regret giving him attention for what he wants.
Rich Key.
Basketball
is back, baby!
Yes, damn it, we are going to talk about the Bruins.
Dale and Keith, midday.
Joe Kelly is a knob.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double tap does what the
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. Joe Kelly got, well, let's be honest, he's got almost all the attention in Major League Baseball through the first 6 days of the season, hasn't he?
He's been the story, I mean, outside of the Marlins. If you want to talk about stuff that has happened
on the field, it is
without a doubt Joe Kelly going after the Astros, and I think most people loving it, and maybe not Major League Baseball based on the punishment they have given him. But yeah, that has really been the story, and I think people were wondering, how are the Astros going to get treated this year? Did people forget about it because of the way the season is? There's no fans to have, you know, really get on them when they go to a road parks. There wasn't any of that, but nope, first series against the Dodgers, and they got into it.
Now, we had a bit of a disagreement yesterday. I had no problems with Joe Kelly throwing at members of the Houston Astros, and other pitchers, as we said, have been throwing at guys throughout both spring training when they had it and the restart and the exhibition games when they had it. No issues with that at all. Good for them. I had a real problem with how he did it. And I know Lou Maloney, who played the game at the highest level, he had an issue with Kelly going up in the head area as well at both Correa and Bregman. Even having said that, I don't think he did the right thing throwing where he did. 8 games is too much.
8 games is way too much. It's a 60-game season, and you know people have done the math on it. You know he is missing 13.3% of the year for not even hitting a guy. Didn't even hit a guy and didn't get thrown out in that game. And one of the comparisons that a lot of people have been making is Amir Garrett, the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds last year, literally fought the Pirates bench. He ran after the Pirates bench, connected on a couple of punches, and he got an 8-game suspension. But that's when they were playing 162. So if you do the math, that's actually just under 5% of the season. So Joe Kelly got way, way overpunished. I think most people seem to agree with that. There are a few out there, some of these longtime baseball scribes that may feel a little bit differently.
John Heyman thought he deserved every bit of it.
Like
I disagree with
sensitive John Heyman was out there, and he's upset about it, saying that he deserves the suspension.
Isn't he technically our coworker?
He blocked me on Twitter, so I don't
not
really,
anymore.
I don't really know.
Not a coworker anymore.
He's not my friend.
All right, so here's part of the problem, okay? Joe Kelly's had a previous suspension for throwing at Tyler Austin and then fighting him. He got a 6-game suspension, but that was 6 out of 162. I think what Major League Baseball got caught up in is we've suspended him for 6 games before for doing this. We've got to suspend him for more. They didn't take into consideration that it's a 60-game schedule, not a 162-game schedule.
Yeah, have somebody with a calculator. We know baseball is full of stat guys. Have somebody sit there with a calculator and figure out how many games it really would be to still be more than that, but also make sense for an abbreviated season. And I'm sure once they, you know, read the appeal and they understand that, oh, yeah, well, that's right, they're playing 100 less games this year, that they probably will change it. But I also found stupid is they refer to not only his past history and, you know, the pitch to Bregman, but then they even, like, the taunting to Correa. So is that really a suspendable offense to do, like,
no,
the little kissy face?
But based on what his manager said, Major League Baseball, and especially Rob Manfred, were really upset at the optics, you know, with all the social distancing rules. I mean, we've even had umpire-manager arguments, you know, where they've gone out of their way to put on their mask before they argue.
Yeah.
And then make sure they stay 6 feet apart. Well, you had a bunch of players on both teams come out of their dugouts, clear their benches, and they didn't fight. They didn't get physical, but some of them were nose-to-nose practically. And Major League Baseball, I think, got really upset about that. And they blame the taunting of Kelly for that happening.
So I think Major League Baseball needs to look at themselves and realize, had we punished any of the Astros players,
yes,
we probably wouldn't have this as often anyway. And I think there would still be guys that are pissed. But again, it all goes back to that. The Major League Baseball said, nope, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, and sort of in a weird way, Carlos Beltran, who didn't get suspended by the league, but the Mets fired him. They were probably told to fire him, if we're being honest. And those guys take all of the punishment, and the GM, Jeff Luhnow. That's who was in charge of it, not the players, not the guys who benefited from it, not the World Series champions, not the MVP of the league in 17, Jose Altuve. If the league suspended Altuve, Correa, Bregman, and maybe a couple of other guys, there wouldn't be such a backlash by the players feeling like they have to police it themselves.
I don't know if Joe Kelly would not have thrown at the two guys that he did. Let's be honest, he's a bit of a hothead.
He might have anyway. Right, he may have. But I don't think it would be as big of a deal, because that's what everybody's saying. So, all right, here you go. You know, Joe Kelly gets 8 games. How many did any of the Astros players get for cheating a World Series?
This didn't impact the game.
If the baseball seems to care so much about the history of the game, the numbers of the game, and everything else, how important it is. Shoeless Joe Jackson was part of cheating a World Series. The guy's banned from baseball. Never allowed to play baseball. Banned for life. No Hall of Fame.
Actually, after death, too.
Yeah.
He's still banned.
Yeah, you're banned forever. Forever. Literally forever. These guys cheated their way to a World Series, and they're back playing game one the next season? Or 2 seasons later, once they actually got all the investigation done, they're right back out there on the field again. So you are forcing the Joe Kellys of the world to go out there and punish the Astros their way. And so if you don't like it, now you over-punish them? Like, it's just, it's embarrassing for baseball, but they're also used to that.
There is a Deadspin piece. The headline is, "Don't cheer Joe Kelly for being a coward." Because we were talking about, there are some people out there who...
Deadspin sucks now, by the way.
I know, it sucks.
Deadspin's useless now.
You were just talking about people who think that Major League Baseball got this right. I found this one to go along with John Heyman. I was a little surprised he got suspended, only because he didn't even get ejected.
Didn't get ejected? Didn't hit anybody?
Yeah, he missed. He tried, but he missed.
Oh, he tried. I'm with you. He tried, but he didn't even hit anybody.
But if he had been, if they had said, "Look, we're suspending Joe Kelly for 3 games," I'd have said, "Okay, he deserves it, and move on." You know, big deal.
So Joe Kelly's a coward now for trying to take matters into his own hands against the Astros, or is he the hero that we need?
The hero we need.
He's the hero we need.
The hero we deserve.
What happened to Deadspin? I mean, I guess I kind of know what happened to Deadspin, but how is that even still a thing? Here's Joe Kelly's music. No, but for a second. The last Deadspin article we referenced was the one that said, how the people are dying in Florida because the NBA's there and they're stealing out all the tests. That's the same website.
Well, you know what happened to Deadspin, right? When they got bought
Gawker.
Out by, yeah, they got Gawker.
Hulk Hogan happened to, he got, they got leg dropped on.
It's, not, it's not the same people that it was before.
No, it is not. No, it is not. So now Joe Kelly's a coward. Give me a break. Joe Kelly's the man. And I honestly, I wasn't even a huge fan of him here. I know the Joe Kelly Fight Club thing took on a life of its own, but I was always like, eh, all right. But this was great. Like, this needed to be done.
Rob Bradford wants to fight you now.
Well, no, I like him now. I like Kelly now. So he's...
You said you weren't a big Joe Kelly
fan. No, I wasn't.
That will get Rob Bradford in the studio rolling around in the dirt with you right now.
6 feet away, please. You fight me with a hockey stick, but nothing else.
Now, as Deadspin points out, by the way, three managers lost their job and a GM lost their job. You know,
okay, you can't throw at those guys.
No, some people did get punished, but none of the players got punished. In fact, just the opposite. The players from the commissioner, Rob Manfred, got immunity for admitting and explaining what their cheating entailed. What?
Not only got immunity, but based on this first punishment, they're getting protected. Because by sending a message of eight games and whatever we just said it was, 14% of the season, 13% of the season, you are now telling all the other pitchers in baseball, you might want to be careful throwing inside on the Astros now.
Devices, all that stuff.
Or we might think, because even if in-game, say in-game, the umpire deems, oh, that guy just threw it inside, hit him on the wrist, and you know, nothing to see here, take your base. But then the league's like, oh my God, the Astros got hit again? Oh, they must be trying to do street justice, vigilante justice. We're gonna suspend this guy now. So now you can't even throw inside of the Astros based on this ruling.
I made this admission earlier in the show, and I'm not ashamed to admit it again. I did not know until I read the Evan Drellick piece today that Joe Kelly gets suspended with pay. I just assumed if you're suspended, you're not getting your money, and that's not the case because Drellick points out that now the commissioner is able to suspend players who do exactly what the Astros did. If they use electronic devices, he can suspend them. That will be without pay. But Joe Kelly...
That's a weird one. So maybe it's not the end of the world for Kelly, but still, it's just too many games. I mean, he should be out there. He shouldn't have to miss eight games for this. He didn't hit anybody. And guess what? He's got people talking about baseball. They should do him a favor. They should give him a raise.
Now, does intent matter to you at all? Because as you admit, and I absolutely admit, he didn't hit anybody just because he was inept.
No, he was trying to. Crazy. Yeah, he was trying to, but he still, at the end of the day, he threw an inning. I don't know how many batters he faced, 3-4, whatever it was, but and none of them got plunked. And he obviously was trying to, but he missed.
By the way, nothing happened last night. Nothing. No altercations, no purpose pitches. You know, they play, and it actually went extra innings. And you kind of knew this was going to be the case. I have a feeling that a call went out to both general managers and managers, and it was basically, don't let this happen again tonight.
Well, and I think a big part of that was the Dodgers say, all right, we got our guy, like for this series, because they have a two-game series now, which just finished. Then they have a two-game series later on in September. But they probably said, all right, we got our guy. And now it was kind of up to the Astros. Like, do you want to protect Bregman, or do you guys want to just kind of wear it and say, we don't want to get into a whole thing? Because if they went out there, and we talked about this yesterday with Wiggy, if they went out there and drilled Mookie Betts, I don't think they're then going to sit there and say, oh, okay, we're even. They go right back at you. They're like, all right, if you want to do this, it's like, we're not hitting you guys because, you know, your pitcher threw one inside on our guys. We're doing this because you cheated a World Series. You won a World Series that good chance you shouldn't have won. Did you hear Oral Hershiser last night, by the way?
It was a good line, wasn't it?
Hilarious line when Altuve strikes out and the play-by-play guy's like, yeah, you know, guessing changeup. He's like, yeah, a lot harder when you're guessing and not knowing. And you're like, yep, yeah, that's correct. Good harder to hit a pitch when you don't know what's coming.
Low-key burn by Hershiser.
Yep, 100%. But that's how I would imagine 90% of Major League Baseball players, past, present, and future, feel.
Oh, I think these guys' reputation, I don't think amongst fans it really matters as much. Within the game, the players within the game, they will never recover.
No, and we discussed this when all this information was coming out, and we didn't know how involved the Red Sox were. I still certainly think more so than what was, you know, ended up being the punishment. But either way, that steroids, not as bad, not as much of an advantage as this is.
No, I agree.
You know, steroid, the guy still has to put in all the work, and I know they have an advantage.
If he doesn't know what's coming.
Right, he's up there, fastball, curveball, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm jacked out of my mind, and there's a chance that if I get a hold of it, it's going to go a little bit further. I'm not saying it doesn't help you. It clearly helped you, but you still got to hit a 98-mile-an-hour heater when you're kind of guessing. I don't really know what it's going to be. Whereas these guys, any guy who gets to that level, if you tell him curveball and you're just waiting for a curveball and you just got to make sure that it, you know, it's over the plate, you're probably going to do all right.
I wonder if Major League Baseball considers it on a par. Do they think that the steroid cheats and the Houston Astros are of the same?
It's tough to say because my instinct would say no, because if you look at what the suspensions kind of were, but at the same time, you know, Cora and Hinch, they put all the blame on them, and they popped them for a whole year.
And Beltran.
And not only did they all get suspended, but...
Or fired.
They all ended up getting fired. And I think baseball probably kind of knew that, too. Like, you're going to suspend a manager for a full season? Or we're going to let this guy back in another season? It's a lot different than, you know, a player. Players get hurt all the time and come back the next season. You don't have a manager disappear from the team, and then all of a sudden, hey, guys, I'm back. So,
and as I said before we deify Joe Kelly here, he was on two Red Sox teams that also got busted for cheating.
They did. Now,
so he's participated in it as well.
Well, participated, I feel like, is a bit strong because I don't think the pitchers had much control over it.
No, but his team got the advantage. The team he was on got an advantage by cheating.
But he himself,
not the same degree as the Astros.
By all accounts, the Astros were much, much worse than what the Red Sox were. Just
or much better, depending on how you
Yeah, they're much better at it. No, that's definitely true. They could have used Beltran, I guess. But, I mean, the pitchers, I don't really hold them to the same level that I do all the hitters on the team because the pitchers.
Yeah,
you know,
but his anger at the Astros for cheating, he could have been angry at his Red Sox teammates for cheating too, but I don't think he was.
And maybe he was. Maybe he didn't know about it. I mean, who's to say how much they were telling the pitchers about what was going on? He's out in the bullpen in those games. Those guys are all in the back alley and doing all their stuff down the hallway and communicating with each other. Maybe he didn't really know much about it. Because that was the other thing I hated about John Heyman's tweet, which eventually got me blocked. But he said something.
Hold on,
like,
I'm not blocked yet.
The Heyman tweet in reference to Kelly's suspension.
Because this is the, well.
I didn't like it.
The Heyman tweet didn't get Keith blocked. His reaction to it got him blocked.
I just said this tweet sucks with arrows pointing down to it.
And I got you blocked.
Yeah.
All right, so what he wrote was, quote, Joe Kelly earned every bit of that 8-game suspension. The ball was too close to Bregman's head. Kelly wasn't even on the 2017 Dodgers.
So the first part and the last part I hate. First of all, he earned all 8 games. No, he didn't. If it was a 162-game season, you could probably talk us into 8 games, but a 60-game season, way overpunished. And then the last part, it's like, well, you weren't even a teammate of them 2 years ago, so why are you sticking up for him now? Or why are you trying to send a message now? It's like, well, he is their teammate now. And if anything, I bet guys like Cody Bellinger were like, nice. Joe, nice. I like you even more now. I thought I liked you. Now I love you. Like, it's okay to sort of jump on board to a team and, you know, stick up for those guys, even though you didn't lose a World Series because of them. Although, maybe he thinks 2017, maybe they have a better chance of beating the Astros in the divisional round if they weren't cheating then, too.
I totally disagree with Joe Kelly earned every bit of that 8-game suspension. I don't think he earned an 8-game suspension. I do agree that the ball was too close to Bregman's head. If you go further down into the Twitter stream here, and he's responding to people not named Keith, he talks about the Red Sox. He said, I haven't heard many Red Sox speak out on the Astros. Not much room to talk there. And by the way, he's got a point. Have you heard many of the Red Sox players talk about what the Astros did? Probably because their manager was the bench coach who was helping put all that together, right?
It was early on when we thought we were going to have a season on time, like when they did spring training the first go-around, and all the guys the Red Sox talked about it were adamant that they didn't do anything. They didn't necessarily bash the Astros, but remember J.D. Martinez was like, yeah, what are they going to find? Like, was it Benintendi? I forget. There's a whole bunch of players were like, they're not going to find anything here. So, again, maybe a little bit different than just dumping on the Astros like a lot of the other baseball teams did. But you're right, that might have been more protecting their Cora.
He also said later on in the tweet stream here, he said, I've always been tough on headhunting. That won't change. That's where I agree with Heyman. And it's where I had a problem with Kelly. And I know Lou had a problem with Kelly as well. You know, you plunk a guy in the hip, you stick one in his ribs. Good for you. I got no issues. I had a problem when Pedro was throwing at guys' heads. There's a way to do it, and there's a way to not do it.
I wonder if Kelly was throwing at his head. I don't think Kelly's the most accurate guy in the business. It was a 3-0 count anyway.
We've seen him break his own window.
Correct. I think he wanted to put a little gas on it. I don't think he wanted to ease up and hit him in the ribs at 80. I think he wanted to drill him in the rib cage or something like that, and it went up high. Bregman also ducked down, which I thought made it look like it was even more in line for his head. But
although I might have been ducking down too if it was up there.
I'm not mad at Bregman for it. I'm just saying when you watch the replay of it, it looks like, oh, geez, maybe that was going for his head. I think because I like tried to pause it a few times. It had like some late movement too. The thing kind of took off on him. I think if Bregman doesn't move, it drills him in the shoulder. But that's just my poor eyesight looking at it.
one of our Twitter followers tweeted out, and this is actually a good suggestion, because we said, the Dodgers manager said baseball was really mad at both teams for clearing the dugouts the way they did. One of our Twitter followers said, MLB needs the rule from hockey. If you leave the bench area when not in the normal course of play, you get suspended. And you know what? There'd be no bench clearing brawls.
Oh, that's true. And because I know Dusty Baker's like, well, what are we supposed to do? All right, well, if you feel that bad about it, throw it them.
Yell back at him.
Throw it them. Or I think there's a difference between a bench clearing brawl and if a hitter wants to go run at a pitcher or something like that. Like, not that that's the smartest play, but whatever. You have the ability to do that. But yeah, if they're that upset about it, then you say, hey guys, this year, no bench clearing brawls.
You come out of the dugout, you get five.
Yeah. That's what they do in the NBA ever since the Ron Artest thing. They were like, if you leave the bench, even if you take a step onto the floor, like if there's a fight ever in the NBA, which there isn't, but when there is, it's just between the guys that are on the court at that time. As soon as anybody else comes off the bench, even if they're going to break it up, like, boom, you're suspended.
And wouldn't it have been a lot of fun to watch like the Astros start jawing back at the Dodgers?
Yeah, why not?
Why
what are we supposed to do? I don't know. Talk trash back? Say
be
something
a man about it?
Right. Like, yeah, Dusty Baker's, he's got a real chore ahead of him this year.
I will say that for this year at least, you can't have that. And, you know, you don't have bench-clearing brawls. The irony here is there hasn't been a bench-clearing brawl in hockey in years. But you get one or two a year. Not brawls, but bench-clearing, you know, kvetching sessions or something. But this is the year where I'm sure the commissioner's saying, we're not doing this. Not this year. You know, when you've got umpires putting their mask on before they go talk to a manager who's beefing with them, you can't have players standing out there with no masks on. They even complained to the players about high-five celebrations and stuff. Mike Yastrzemski hit a walk-off home run last night in San Francisco for the Giants, and it was almost comical. He crosses home plate, and the players are in a big circle around him, jumping up with their hands up in the air but not coming anywhere near him.
By the way, the fact that they did not put in a rule about bench clearers once again shows you what they were focused on leading into this and what they weren't.
That's fair.
Right? Like the player safety aspect was such last minute because they were so worried about percentages of money, where it was going. Oh, my God, this looks like a salary cap. Oh, it's not a salary cap. Like, what are we doing? They were so concerned about that, you know, the testing we saw early on was a disaster. This thing with the Marlins, they don't really know how to handle it. And then even... You could like so guys can't spit and they can't high five, yet you didn't want to put in a quick little rule about, hey, unfortunately this season you can't leave the bench. Right? Like I don't think that would be that difficult.
I have a feeling that rule is now in place, but it goes further to what we said before. Major League Baseball looks like they're making it up as they go along.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't think about that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, let's put a rule in for that, okay?
It's like you had to kind of prepare for these things. And again, the two things that we're talking about, like a bench clearers, they do happen. So it's easy to sort of, it's not like a once in a blue moon thing. They happen. So put a rule in, easy. What if a team has 15 or more positives? It's a bad case scenario, but guess what? One that you should have already prepared for.
617-779-7937. As we get ready to have the Bruins back in action exhibition tonight, the Celtics back in action for real tomorrow night, the Patriots theoretically back in action early in September, and the Red Sox already back in action. It's a legitimate question about which team is next most likely to win a title. And according to Christian Fourier, that team might not matter to anybody anyway. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
How many times has Rich Keefe been wrong?
Zero. Ever, 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 ever.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
So there was a bit of a beef on the air yesterday. It started out when our colleague Ken Laird wrote a piece on WEEI.com that came out yesterday. And I'm paraphrasing here, but the basic premise is that if the Bruins win the Stanley Cup this year, they will take over the top spot on the sports landscape, dethroning the team that's been there for 20 years now, the New England Patriots. Now, I might agree with him in the immediate aftermath of winning a cup. You know, they'd be the hot team in town and everything. But long term, football is still king, probably will always be king. And I don't see anybody dethroning, you know, an NFL franchise in any town, do you?
Yeah, no. No. I think NFL, every single town, it's the number one team that has a team. And I think Also, when you factor in what the calendar looks like now, if the Bruins win the cup, like what day
would
that
be on? October.
Yeah, so it's not even like off season for the Patriots. Like that would be their best chance. If they win it, you know, in June, oh, you got a few months before the Patriots even play. So yeah, they would be the talk of the town for about 3 months. But if they win it, same with the Celtics. If either one of them win it, it'll be great. It'll be exciting.
It'll be huge and in the aftermath.
And then it'll be like, oh, Sunday the Patriots play. All eyes on that. Like everybody's attention will be on that. Oh, how'd Cam Newton do? So it's really nothing any of those other teams can do. I think the Patriots will be far and away the most popular.
So while I disagree basically with Ken Laird's basic premise.
Yeah, which is a classic thing, by the way,
yeah.
around these parts.
It happens. Our colleague Christian Fourier, let's just say he took it to an even dopier degree. Because
it's too small of a pocket family of fans that exists with hockey. They will never be the number one sport in this town.
I would say that. Although all these Boston Bruin hockey fans out there, if they win the cup, it'll probably get as much attention as the Boston Cannons winning the Major League Lacrosse League. It's temporary. It's fleeting. You'll have you won't have a parade. You'll have a virtual parade, so no one will even be paying attention. It'll be in October.
A parade.
No one will even care because you won't be allowed to have people there. It'll be over, and you won't talk about them until January again.
Okay, and my guess is he was overstating to try to make the point. The Bruins winning the Stanley Cup will get slightly more attention than the Boston Cannons winning the MLL trophy this weekend.
Yeah, I think I did see a tweet about the MLL, so that is way overstated.
I actually did watch the end of the game, truthfully, just because it was too hot to be outside anyway, and it was on, so I watched it. And
no, that is much too much. But again, I think he's just trying to hammer home his point. If you want to say the Bruins will never be the number one team in town, I would agree with that.
Absolutely.
I think that's fine.
I'm a hockey guy, and I don't think they'll be the number one team in town.
But to say if they win it that nobody will care, nobody will talk about it, well, that's also not true. Like, it'll be exciting. Now, I think you can make a case that whatever team, outside of football, because right now it looks like they're going to play 16 games, at least that's the hope. The other three sports, I think you could make an argument that it's not a true title. It's not like the Bruins played 82 games, then went right into the playoffs won all these seven-game series. Like, it's not like, oh, it makes up for last year losing in Game 7. Like, no, it doesn't. This is very, very different. Yeah, technically, they will be the owners of the Stanley Cup, but to me, it's not as good. It just isn't.
Now, Bruce Cassidy disagreed with that point when he talked to us about it. He said, if you've got a ring and your name's on the cup at the end of the whole thing, you're from a player's perspective, a coach's perspective, you're still a Stanley Cup champion and nothing's going to take away from that.
Those 25 guys, yes.
Oh,
but
yeah,
everybody else, no. Like, I would say even the other players would look at it, or even years from now, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that was the COVID season. They played a season, then they basically had an entire off season, and then came back. And that's also to say, like, I'm operating under best case scenario where no star player leaves because of the coronavirus. If they do, then it's a real sham type of deal. But if you have all the teams playing and it's like the real teams, like if it's, Lakers, Bucks or something like that, that's close to it, but it's still not the same. It's just, I don't know how it could be.
Of the four major professional teams in town, I know the Boston Cannons just won the lacrosse league title, and congratulations to them.
Yes.
Of the four major pro sports teams, it's not even me being a Bruins homer to say that they're probably the closest to winning a title, right? I mean, they were in first place when the season broke down.
It's not the Red Sox, Dale.
No, it's not the Red Sox. It's probably not the Patriots.
Yeah, I would say it is the Bruins by far would be the most likely. The Celtics are probably the fourth or fifth best team in basketball.
So they're the second most likely to
win
a title.
Yeah, and then the Patriots are probably like the seventh best team in football, something like that. And then the Red Sox are the 27th best team in baseball or
somewhere
something
around
like that.
There.
So yeah, I think it's pretty clear cut. The Bruins have the best chance to win the whole thing.
Now, the question is, as you're looking at it from a fan's perspective, what's the biggest question mark you have for each of these? From a Bruins perspective, my only question right now is health. If they stay healthy, they were the best team in the league when they broke. I think if they're healthy, they're still one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the league.
my question will be the same it's been the last 2 years, is secondary scoring. You know, if they don't have any secondary scoring and you're relying on that top line to produce all of your goals,
right,
then eventually that's going to run out. You know, last year it ran out, unfortunately, at the very worst time and the very last possible game you could play. The year before, it ended, you know, sooner than you would have liked. Because you're right, I think overall they have as good of a team as anybody from front to back, the goaltender, the coach, everything you like about the team. But if all of a sudden they get a tough physical matchup and Pasternak and Marchand are not scoring a bunch of goals, and then you're turning to these other guys and you're like, oh, wait, oh, nothing here. Like, what? Jake DeBrusk had a crazy drought last year, if I remember correctly, in the playoffs. So that would be my biggest concern. Are they going to be able to get scoring from other places?
From a Celtics perspective, my biggest question is Kemba Walker's health.
Yep.
If he's healthy, they got a shot.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think Kemba's knee. Like, Kemba and Tatum have to be able to play every game, and they have to be able to put up a bunch of points in every single game. And hopefully they get their shot back pretty quick, because they're a team that is going to rely on the three-point shot a bit. And then also, if it gets to it and Gordon Hayward has to leave, you know, like for the birth of his son, I guess, like, how long will he be out, and how is he playing at the time? Is he able
it's
to jump back in?
It's not as long as we thought when we first started talking about this.
No, it's not. But it's also, all right, how long is he going to stay? Like, how, right. Like, what's going on? Like, there's just such an X factor with that whole process. Like, who knows? But, yeah, I think they have as good a chance as any team in the Eastern Conference to beat the Bucks. But if Kemba Walker all of a sudden can only give you 20 minutes or something like that, and you got to go to the backup point guards, then yeah, your chances aren't nearly as good.
From the Patriots' perspective, isn't it Cam Newton, Cam Newton, Cam Newton?
I can't think of anything else. It's Cam Newton. And then I guess now, how does Belichick replace Hightower specifically, and then to a lesser degree, Chung and Cannon? You know, you just lost three starters, you know, with their decisions, and including, you know, your second best defensive player probably. So
yeah.
How does he replace those guys? But still Cam Newton number one, but then after that, all right, what does the roster look like when the season starts?
Couldn't you even take a broader scope with the Cam Newton take and just make it the entire offense, seeing as the receivers stunk last year, stunk last year,
yeah,
everybody stunk?
Oh, it's, yeah. I mean,
Tom Brady at quarterback, your offense wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't, but you're like, all right, here's what the offense is going to be. Like with Brady, and even if the weapons are bad, like, all right, well, this is what he's just going to throw to Edelman and James White a lot and whatever. But with Newton, if you go glass half full, you're like, oh, like it could be like he's going to run in touchdowns and N'Keal Harry's going to be good and Sanu's going to be good. But then if you go the other way, you're like, either Newton's hurt or he can't perform. The running game, why is that going to be any better? You know, the offensive line, Cannon leaves and then Andrews and Wynn, how many games are they going to play? And then the receiving core is bad. Like, it can have such a range. Like, where they finish points per game at the end of the year is, like, a huge gap. It could be bottom half of the league. It could be maybe the, you know, bottom of the top 10, potentially. You're like, you have no idea.
And from the Red Sox perspective, we're in agreement. They might be the 26th, 27th, 28th best team in baseball, which means there are too many questions to even list them.
The pitching has to be good or better.
Better. It's not going to be good, so I don't want to put that out there. I think I misspoke there by saying it's going to be good. Yeah, all right, I'll go positive Red Sox here for a moment.
Oh, here we go.
Eduardo Rodriguez returns at some point. I don't know when that is. I know Chaim Bloom told the Greg Hill Show that he is going to return. He's not done for the season.
He expects that he'll be back. I think that's still up in the air, but
so do
Chaim
I.
Bloom is expecting.
And I know it's been different people in charge, but my history watching the Red Sox, when they tell you something about an injury, it's usually wrong. It's usually the opposite. Oh, yeah, he'll be back. Oh, Chris.
Even Larry Lucchino used to say, whatever they tell me is going to be the length of time a player is going to be out, I always double it.
I mean, do you remember some of these? You don't have to go back that far. Some of the Chris Sale and David Price updates we got, were any of them right? Like, they were all over the map.
None.
So, anyway, this would be the best case scenario, is Rodriguez comes back. So now you would have Rodriguez and Eovaldi, two actual starters in your rotation, and then they just have to score more runs. And the guys that are struggling right now, like Bogarts and Benintendi and Devers.
I think Bogarts is hurt.
You might be right. So those guys would all have to kind of snap out of it, and then you're like, oh, they got, you know, the extra, there's more playoff spots up for grabs. But no, I mean, all being serious, like I hate their chances of doing anything.
I do agree with something Christian said yesterday. Not much, but a little bit that he said.
Well, he's still burned from, you know, some of his hockey hot takes ended up just falling flat. So I think he's a little burned about that.
I mean, and we'll just play the game out. Let's say the Bruins did win the Stanley Cup. Unfortunately, it's going to be a year where it will not and cannot be celebrated the way it would normally be celebrated, both in the arena.
Right.
Empty arena.
Yeah.
And when you come home, this is one of those years. You know what it's like? You'll probably agree with me on this, Rich. It's like Drew McIntyre being the heavyweight champion in WWE, but can't celebrate it with any of the fans. Can't get the pop that he deserves.
Can't do it. You're just in a ring by yourself.
That's what will happen with the Bruins. They will not be able to get the cheap pop.
Are they going to be allowed to hand the cup to each other? Or is it going to be like, nobody touched the cup?
Will they all have to put gloves on or something?
Yeah, they might. Yeah. That's going to be tricky. Champagne baths?
Not allowed to kiss it?
You can't. No, God, no. God, don't kiss the cup.
What are you, nuts?
Yeah, that would be scary. Yeah, it's just, it's going to be weird. And I think those guys, whatever team wins it, they're going to try to celebrate and try to have it be the same. But it's just not. It's just not at all. Doesn't mean they shouldn't do it.
I'm looking forward to that window for like the lockout years, because if you don't, like, how is this any different?
So it's very different, Shyam. I'm glad you asked. But the lockout years started late, then they jumped in and played. So if you go back to there's two recent NBA lockouts where 1 year they only played 50 games, 1 year they played 66. Still decent amount of games, but they played those games and then went into the playoffs. They didn't play most of the season, stopped for 4 months. And then just play the playoffs. It would be like opening up a season with a tournament. Be like, all right, here are the 16 best teams from last year, basically. You guys play the playoffs right now. I feel like that's like a soccer kind of tournament. That's like playing like one of these like Champions League type of things or something.
It whoever wins it, you're right. It's going to be weird. Whoever wins the NBA title, it's going to be weird. I mean, one of the biggest things ever in all these sports is the big confetti bath, and not in hockey. They don't put confetti on the ice, but NBA, you know,
just
Super
squids.
Bowl. Yeah, squids, octopi. I mean,
Kraken.
None of that will be the same. Although I'll tell you, I think we'll see what happens by like the Super Bowl time. Like I'm hopeful that maybe there's fans allowed back in there. Super Bowl is also weird because it's a neutral site regardless. And there's just enough guys where they'll be able to celebrate on the field and then in the locker room. I think they'll be able to do that. But some of the other moments, you're right, like, you know, Kevin Garnett winning and just his reaction on the floor and all that other stuff. It's not going to be the same.
When we come back, it is the return, the triumphant return of Keith's Keys. The keys now to the NBA restart, which technically starts tonight, but for the Celtics starts tomorrow night. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
You know, Rich, it has been too long. And I don't really, maybe it's
way too long. Oh, actually, you know, I think I have a pretty good idea why.
But there were no sports.
Yeah, there were no sports.
That might have had something to do with
it. Yeah, there's 4 months of no sports.
So, you know, we haven't done a Keith's Keys in a while.
Although the most popular Keith's Keys may have been the keys to beat the heat. I think it was last summer when there was a heat wave.
We could have trotted that one out.
Keith's Keys to beat the heat. That's true. It was like make a fan, put ice in your pants. It was pretty much just
the car or door opening.
Oh yeah,
technique.
That one kind of works. You just kind of use your car doors like wings, and you kind of flap them, and that's supposed to speed up the cool down process.
You could give that a whirl, I guess, if you want.
I'm gonna try that today.
But the NBA restart takes place tonight. Starting tonight, Celtics restart begins tomorrow night, and that is a celebratory reason to bring back Keith's Keys.
Rich Keith, what is going to be a couple of keys for the Boston Celtics to get a win here tonight?
And now, Dale and Keith presents.
What are your two keys tonight?
Keith presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, 4 of them come correct. And you're like, see, I told you.
Keith's Keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keith's Keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston Radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keith's Keys.
It's Keith's Keys.
Keith, I think I'm going to quit my NASA job if this ever happens again.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
All right, here we go. It is
Chiefs Keys, this time for the NBA restart. And here we go. Don't get coronavirus.
And that was Keefe's Key.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Can I speak for...
What do you think, Dale?
Can I speak for virtually everyone in our listening audience right now when I say I liked it?
Yes.
I thought there might be more.
What do you mean? What more,
more
is
than
there?
One key?
For the NBA restart, I was racking my brain. I said, there's one key. That's it. If these guys don't get coronavirus, you're going to get a full playoff run and an NBA champion and the whole works. The only thing that can derail this right now is the coronavirus. So they've been doing a great job. Nobody is testing positive down there inside the Florida bubble. So they got games that start for real tonight. In fact, you get a Lakers-Clippers matchup tonight at 9. I'm very excited for Celtics tomorrow against the Bucks. Those are four of the best teams in basketball right there. As long as they don't get coronavirus, and I don't care how that is. A guy goes to get wings at Magic City. Not good. A guy brings in a groupie who is just ripe with the coronavirus. Not good.
Ripe. When you said,
don't
you
want
know,
it.
I thought you were going down to the wrong path.
Nope,
there,
coronavirus. I'm only worried about that. If these guys get other things, I don't care because that's not going to derail the whole season. But if a team or two gets it there where they're all inside, they're sharing three hotels right now, and I know they're trying to separate the guys and do the right thing, but once they're on the court, it's not like baseball where, baseball gets it and you're like, yeah, there's a chance that, the right fielder never comes in contact with anybody and enough guys are so far apart. But you get it into a basketball game, forget about it.
I mean this is probably the safest place you could possibly be on the planet.
So Mannix, that was him when he first entered the bubble. He says it's safe. And right now it appears to be very safe.
And I got to tell you, I doubted Adam Silver and perhaps to my detriment because I said, the bubble's great, but you're also taking the bubble to one of the hottest spots in the world for coronavirus. But so far...
Yeah, it's proving as long as you do the right things, these...
The recreational activities!
And that probably won't start for another week or two. I know they've been down there and they've been, practicing and they've had some of these scrimmage games, but give me another week.
Really think they honor in a bubble for 3 months?
No, I don't. But still, they're going to need to be as safe as possible. And if they can get to the second round and you get the, send the Wizards out of here, send some of these other teams out of the Nets and all these bottom teams from the Western Conference that they brought because they were within 5 games of 8th place, get them all out of here. Just have the teams that have an actual chance of winning it. Then I really don't think there's going to be any screw ups. I think in the next couple of weeks, there's a chance team, a team that knows they're only going to play 8 games. They're 6 games into it. They have no chance mathematically of playing more than that. Maybe it's a little bit easier to invite somebody in or to step out for a day or whatever. So if they can get that far, I think they can finish off the whole season.
Wiggy more than us. Wiggy was convinced that guys wouldn't follow the rules. That they want to go to the club, they're going to go to the club. They want to go get wings, they're going to go get wings.
Yeah, I love the strippers.
But by the way, he didn't do that in Orlando. He had to go to Atlanta to do that. Lou Williams, went home for his grandfather's funeral and then got hungry after.
Lemon pepper aroma.
Yeah, it's funny because we've already seen players screw it up in every sport. Every single sport is already kind of... Now, NFL is not really back yet, but we'll see what they're doing. Although they're all practicing and they're telling Brady not to have practice. He's like, yeah, okay, I think he's having practice. But whether it's Lou Williams or Rashawn Holmes or Andre Kasha and David Pastrnak or half of the Miami Marlins, we've already seen early on a bunch of guys not doing the right thing. And so it's like, all right, hopefully some of those things have maybe... maybe not just for other baseball teams, but maybe basketball and hockey teams see what happened to the Marlins and go, oh, okay, all right. It only takes one guy or 3 guys, and then they can infect the whole clubhouse.
And David Pastrnak and Andre Kasha, when they went rogue, I mean, it was kind of a tame going rogue, wasn't it? They weren't going to the strip club to get wings. They were going to the rink in Malden to get some ice time in. I mean, that's what their break with the law was.
Still, but you're not supposed to do that.
No, you're not. No.
And that's the problem. It's like you tell these guys, all right, here's what you need to do. Here you need to follow protocol, regardless of what it is, whether it's a stripper, extra practice, whatever it is. If you're not doing that, you're potentially putting people in harm's way.
By the way, according to Bruce Cassidy, David Pastrnak will play tonight. There was some questions.
Oh,
he's only had three practices. He is in the lineup tonight, and the Bruins are back at it. 617-779-7937. Tommy Curran did a reset. He's not even our take that needs a 180 because he already did the 180 himself. But we've got the take that needs a 180 coming up at 1:30. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.